This morning we have a new face on stage, and we're going to ask her to read the verses, but she just ran away. Sorry, I can't see. Yeah, come on up. Laura Tomes is going to read to us the verses this morning from this mic.
Hi, everybody. Good morning. I'm Laura. Many of you probably know my husband, Nate, and we've been married for almost 5 years, and we have an almost two-year-old daughter, Freya. I've been coming to church in Toronto for 11 years now, and I just wanted to say that I'm very proud to call this church my home.
Very good.
It's a really special place here, yeah. And filled with really sweet, genuine people that have a real heart for God and God's work. And I just want to say that I'm excited to be a part of it all, and I'm really hopeful for our future together. Amen. As a church, yeah. So I'm going to read Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with a good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. For as man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it's gone. And its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him.
Right.
And his righteousness to his children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers, who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Amen. Thank you. So, Psalm 103, a precious psalm. I would say it's a psalm worth memorizing, especially the first five verses. We have a message this morning entitled Healthy Self-Talk. This is an interesting title, right? Well, before we get into this, I'd like to just say this. Last week, Ian shared with us concerning what? Do you remember? The Lord reigns. Okay, remind you, the Lord reigns. This is a thought that is pervasive throughout all the Psalms, based upon what God is, how God is revealed in the Psalms. Everything he does is based on the fact that he's king, he's ruling, he's reigning. So you keep that in mind when we come to this psalm as well. So you want to jump to, I'll just read verse 19 of this psalm. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, his kingdom rules over all. So again, it's here in this psalm as well, okay, as in many other psalms. These first five verses of this psalm are a very interesting kind of verses. This is what we call self-talk. Let me just read you again. Bless the Lord, who? Oh, my soul. This is like saying, Dell, bless the Lord. Dell, bless the Lord. That's what it's basically saying. My soul, bless the Lord. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Let me just say this. In the Old Testament, this thought of soul means the whole person. Don't think, oh, it's just my soul, it's just my heart. It's the whole person. The writers in the Old Testament didn't have a thought that, well, I have my soul and I have my mind and I happen to have a body too and they're all separate parts. No, you're one being, one whole person. So when you bless the Lord, you do it with your whole entirety of your being. That's why even the command in the Old Testament, love the Lord your God with what? With all your mind, with all your strength, with all your heart, with all your everything. Okay, so this matter of self-talk. And what's so interesting about this, sorry, we got a quote here. Let's jump to the one by Bartlett. Psalm 103 begins with a soliloquy. That one. Psalm 103 begins with a soliloquy. Self speaks to self and to no one else. Now, why these five verses were put in Psalms? Because he's talking to himself. It's because to help us learn. Haven't you ever said to yourself, don't do that? You're actually talking to yourself, right? But this psalm, you know, we can also have unhealthy self-talk. But this morning we're talking about what is healthy self-talk. What is healthy self-talk? Psalm 103, 1 to 5. That's healthy self-talk. It's telling yourself, you know, one thing that's interesting in this section, there's nothing about feeling here. I feel good today, so I'm going to bless the Lord. I feel happy today, so I'm going to bless the Lord. There's nothing about feeling. It's like you're commanding yourself, or I like to sometimes say, you take yourself by the scruff of the neck. Now, go, bless the Lord. I don't mean in a nasty way, but we're not waiting for feeling. We're saying, no, Lord, bless the Lord. But what's so great about these verses is verse 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget all his benefits. The psalm we said gave us 10,000 reasons. This one gives us 5 or 6 reasons. But there are many more. Why should we bless the Lord? We have one more quote here by Golden Gay. Such a psalm assumes that we can argue with ourselves and that we need to stir ourselves up and should stir ourselves up to faith and worship. This psalm is telling us we all need to stir ourselves up. You're not waiting for somebody else to stir you up. You're not even waiting for the musicians to stir you up. No, you get up in the morning, you say, Lord, I'm going to bless you today. Amen. How about that? Yes. Especially on the Lord's Day, on a Sunday. But every day we should bless the Lord. Why? What are the benefits that God that are revealed in this psalm? Well, the first one is, who forgives all your iniquity, verse 3. Who forgives all your iniquity. And the last part of the verse, who heals all your diseases. The starting point To bless God is recognizing He has forgiven me. And of course, before you have a realization of forgiveness, you have a realization of sin. Why does the psalmist say it like this? It's because the psalmist has a deep understanding of himself. I'm a sinner. I have committed sins. I have offended God. But God forgives me. And later on we see in the chapter, I don't deserve to be forgiven, but He still forgives me. What a God. What a great God. When we really know ourselves, we know we need God's forgiveness. We need God's forgiveness. And forgiveness begins with God. God forgives all our iniquities. God is the one who forgives. That's the basis upon, the first basis upon which we bless Him. Let me just address something, because we live in a very peculiar, twisted society. Today in the news, we have a lot of these things about big shots in the movie industry or in politics who are being, I'll use the word, finally exposed for their sexual immorality. And not just immorality, but sexual assault, I'll use the word. People in the world doing things, I would say, let me use the word, breaking the law. And this is not recent, actually. This has been, things like this have happened before. And there's this thought, well, if I kind of admit that maybe I was wrong, then maybe society will forgive me. So some years ago, some of you may remember Lance Armstrong. Lance Armstrong was caught doping, right? Taking drugs. He's a world-famous cyclist. So what does he do? He doesn't have a really thorough confession, admission of guilt. He goes to the high priestess Oprah. Is Oprah God?
No.
Absolutely not. What does Oprah have to do with Armstrong's doping? Zero. Nothing. Nada. Not a bit. Forgiveness is number one, comes only from God. It also comes from the party that you and I have hurt. Third party forgiveness is stupid. Somebody offends you. And they come to me and say, oh, I hurt somebody and somebody. Oh, I forgive you. No. I don't have a right to forgive anybody who hasn't hurt me. God forgives. It's only God who forgives. When we sin against God. Yes, we even sin against other people. We also sin against God at the same time. We need God's forgiveness, and we need the person that we sinned against. We need their forgiveness. But we especially need God's forgiveness. And I'm going to say one more thing about forgiveness that may, you may argue with me about this, but I don't care. There is no such thing in the Bible as forgiving yourself. That thought is not once in the Bible that you have to forgive yourself. If you think that you can forgive yourself, I may ask you this, are you God? If God forgives, you don't need any more forgiveness except from the person that you hurt. You don't need to forgive yourself. Why do people think they need to forgive themselves? Because they don't believe God has forgiven them. God's the one who forgives. Maybe I need to get off my high horse here. Okay, we have another quote from Golden Gate concerning this verse 3. Given that not everyone gets healed or pardoned, the psalmist statement may be hyperbolic or may affirm that all pardon and healing that ever happens comes from Yahweh. None comes from any other source. We come to also this matter of healing my diseases. He heals all my diseases. You say, well, I didn't get healed yet. Healing all diseases may not be in this life. It may come later. The point is, this comes from God. I heard a story this week. Somebody among us was shopping in a store, and some person came up to them that they didn't even know. And they came up to him and, do you have a back problem? A sore back. They were taken back. And then she said to them, she said, well, I have the gift of healing. Who heals all our diseases? It's God who heals. You say, well, don't people have gifts? Yes, people have gifts, but are you preaching gift? Are you preaching Christ? Are you preaching your gift? Are you preaching Christ? Does the Lord heal? Or what? Who heals? My brother-in-law made this statement to me. I really like this. He had colon cancer. He was going through cancer treatment. He said, when I was going through cancer treatment, he says, I pray, Lord, whether this chemotherapy heals me or not, I believe if you use the chemotherapy to heal me. He took the chemotherapy, but he still believed it was God who did the healing, even if it's through chemotherapy. He redeems my life from the pit. This thought of redemption, the redeeming here is to rescue, to protect, to save from the pit. I don't know what your pit is. Maybe your pit is money problems. Maybe your pit is relationships. Maybe pit of discouragement. Maybe you have a pit of self-pity. It's interesting. It's called self-pity. Maybe you have marital problems. You need some rescue. God is the one who rescues. Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. You know, this, I don't know if you have been reading through the Psalms, this phrase or this word, steadfast love, comes up again and again and again and again. It is the Hebrew words is hesed, H-E-S-E-D, hesed. And what does hesed mean? It is something like a one word, we have a quote here, it's a one word summary of the character and attributes of God. It's a Hebrew word that cannot be translated really with just one English word. It's not just love. It's steadfast love. It's lasting love. It's faithful love. It's always there love. And the psalmist again and again uses this word in the psalms, from one psalm to another psalm. Take note of it next time you come. It is, you could say, it's even based upon God's steadfast love that he forgives, he heals, he redeems, and even all the rest of the things God does for us. It's based on his steadfast love. He satisfies me with good, not just good things, but good. And we've seen previous psalms, what is that good? That good is really God himself. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Well, let's go on to verse. What's interesting about this section, verses 1 to 5, you could say, is one stanza. And everything in verses 1 to 5 is self-talk. Bless my soul. Soul, bless God. Why? He has done this. He has forgiven me. He has healed me. He has redeemed me. And so on. But now, starting in verse 6 and onward, things have changed. Especially verse 7, he made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and so on. Something has changed here. Now, instead of dealing with just me, self-talk, now the psalmist turns to community. What are the benefits God has given to the community? First of all, his acts, verse 7 says, his acts are made known to the people of Israel. Not just to one person, but to the people of Israel, the community. We have a good quote here, another good quote from Golden Gate. Psalm 103 implies that we do not understand the significance of our own personal experiences of God's grace unless we see them in the light of Yahweh's acts in relation to community. What is he saying here? We cannot fully grasp the personal benefits God has given us unless we also see the benefits God has given to the whole community of believers. We are not believers in isolation. We are believers in community. You say, well, I can worship. So, I like to just stay with verses 1 to 5. Bless the Lord's soul. Stay home. No. This is the rest of the picture. We need community. God does not only relate to us individually. God also relates to us in community. Let me ask you, be honest, your most impressive experiences of the Lord, were they all by yourself or were they in when you're with other believers? Hopefully we have both. But I think most of us experience more in community. There are some things you can only experience in community of the Lord. But the individual and community go together. We need both. So, what does he say here in these verses? Verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. In other words, we don't get what we deserve. We don't deserve the love God has given us. We don't deserve the mercy God has given us. We don't deserve it. That's why it's mercy. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. You know, these verses kind of copy some verses from Exodus. And what is the story there? This is when God's people Israel, after they had been rescued by God from slavery in Egypt, God had miraculously brought them out of Egypt through the Red Sea, parting the Red Sea. They're now rescued, free from tyranny and slavery in Egypt. They've now been rescued. They're in the wilderness at the time. God gives them a pillar of cloud and fire, all kinds of things, even manna. And then Moses disappears for a few days, and what do? They build an idol and say, oh, this idol, this calf, this is the God who brought us out of Egypt. Can you believe it? And what happens? God doesn't destroy them. He doesn't. It's amazing. Grace and mercy are experienced in community. God's abounding, steadfast love is experienced in community. Let me say this morning. If you think only Sunday morning is good enough for you, you are missing out. You're missing out. What are you missing out? You are missing out on the grace of God and the mercy of God in community. Even the steadfast love of God is shown in community. How can God show his love to you? Through others. Through others. We all need community. Not just this big community on Sunday. We need smaller community, we call them. We're calling them community groups. You want to call them small group, home group, whatever. We need that. And if you're not in one, come to me, talk to me, and I'll help you get in one. Probably won't be mine, but it's somebody's. Maybe where you live. We need community. Okay? We need two things. I'd like to just kind of close on this point. We need healthy self-talk. Preach to yourself. What do you preach to yourself? These things in Psalm 103. Soul, self, don't forget God's benefits. He forgives all my iniquities. He heals all my diseases. He redeems my life from the pit. He crowns me with steadfast love and mercy. He satisfies me with good. It makes me feel young again. Preach to yourself this. Preach to yourself. Bless the Lord. Soul, bless the Lord. Amen. Because of these benefits that I'm going to list. Not just, don't stop at the end of verse 2. Keep going through to end of verse 5. Secondly, don't despise and don't miss out on the grace, mercy, love, steadfast love of God that we can experience and receive in community. God made us for community. When it says in Genesis, it's not good that the man would be alone. He's not just talking that he needs a wife. It's more than that. He needs community, just like God is triune. He is community. We're created in his image. We need the same kind of community. We need it. Let's pray. Lord, Grant us the grace and impress us with these verses in Psalm 103 that we need to speak to ourselves in this kind of a way. Itemizing the benefits that you have given us and blessing you, speaking to you of your awesomeness with deep appreciation of what you have done for us. And at the same time, Lord, put a desire in us for more community. We need each other. We need to be strengthened. We need to be comforted. We need to know the love of God among your people. So grant us this grace. Amen. We're going to have a little review of what was presented last week concerning offering. So Josh is going to come up and do that for us.
Hello, everyone. My name is Josh. If I haven't met you, I'm one of the volunteer leaders here at CIT. So last week, Steve came up and gave us a really good overview of sort of our finances for the year. The good thing is we're doing really well on our finances, but his plea was that we want to end the year off really, really strong. So last week, I went through sort of the different ways to give. I'm going to go through those again really quickly and just give a little bit of a bit more information on one of the ways to give. So the first way to give is giving box. So if you liked it, sorry, I'm a little bit sick. I'm going to be sniffly. There's a giving box just outside the back door. You can give by cash or check that way. And there are envelopes there that you can use that. You can use those to give that way. The other way to give is online. So one is credit card donations. If you go to www.churchintoronto.com/give. There's all the instructions there that you need to give online. There's a give online button. Right underneath of that, there's an e-transfer option as well, which is a new option that we've added in. And this is where I want to give you a little bit more information. So we recommend this for long-term members of the church. It's a great way to give to church. And basically, one of the things, all the instructions are there online, but one of the things it's going to ask you for when you go and do that is your giving code. And you're asking, what is a giving code? Like, I've never heard of this before. So if you've given before at church, you do have a giving code. You obviously probably don't know what it is. If you need that code, there's a couple ways to get it. One way is to go really simple. So give at churchintoronto.com. Just send an email and say, like, hey, this is my name, my address. And I need to know what my giving code is. So give at churchintoronto.com. The other way is Andrew. Can I get you to stand up? This is Andrew over there. So Andrew's going to be at the back after the meeting. You can go to him and ask him for your giving code as well, and he'll be able to give that to you. And of course, text to give, our new exciting way to give. So obviously, the younger generation only knows how to send text messages. So we want to make sure that it's really easy for them to give as well. So one thing I'll mention with text to give, you do need a credit card to give that way. The other thing is that there is a bit of a setup process. So when you text the first time, you just text an amount to that number right there, 84321. You're going to get a message back, and you're going to have to follow the setup process there. After that, after you have everything set up, it's really quick. The next time you want to give, you can just text an amount to that number, and that amount is will go through. We're just going to watch a quick video that he explains it better than I do. So we're going to watch that quick video, and then I'll just close it out.
Hey there, Justin here, and I wanted to show you one of the easiest ways for you to give to your church. All you gotta do, send a text message. Here, I'll show you how I set it up. All I need to do is text an amount to 84321, and a link will be sent back to me. I'll tap on that link, select my church, add an email address for the receipt, enter in my payment information, and that's it. From now on, when I want to give, I just grab my phone and text an amount. All right, let's donate $10 now. And that's it. Oh, I added an extra zero. Yeah, I'm going to need to fix that. Luckily, I can. Since it's been less than 30 minutes, I just send the word refund and that last donation will be refunded. Whew. I'm going to try it again. And there we go. And that, my friends, is how you can give with a text message. Happy giving.
Awesome. Okay, so obviously super easy to do that. If you'd like to do that, it's a really fun way to give at church. Okay, so just in summary, there's three ways to give at church. There's two new ways, e-transfer and text to give. Our goal is just to make it as easy as possible for you to give at church, remove any barrier that there is for you to be able to give. And we really hope that these three ways help you do that. So that's it for me. Dell's going to come back up to close us out.
Yeah, just I'm going to have another prayer. Among us right now, we actually have quite a few people who are ill. So I'm not going to mention their names this morning, but I'm just going to pray for them and also close out. Lord, we do worship you, and we want to be those who really know how to tell ourselves to bless you, giving you reasons, knowing why it's worthy and awesome and necessary to bless you. Lord, we also thank you for the community that you have placed us in. Lord, grant us more desire to see the grace, the mercy, the love that you have in community. And Lord, even in our community, we do pray for all those who are struggling with their health, whatever kind of situation they're in severe sickness, in ongoing sickness. Lord, we pray that your grace, your mercy, and your steadfast love would crown them. Lord, bless them with their love. Bless them with the love of the saints. We ask this in your dear and precious name. Amen. Amen. Go in peace. Amen. We're dismissed.